In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. If you're ever in town, please visit us. Our worship times are Sunday, 9 a.m., and also Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We also have evening services at 6 o'clock, and Sunday schools and so forth Sunday morning. So if you're ever in town, visit us and let us know that you heard us on VCY, and be sure to find me. I would love to meet you, greet you, and pray with you, and just have a wonderful conversation about the Lord and His Word. Now, we're in commandment number 4, Exodus 20, verse 8. Let me read that briefly. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, this is an incredible commandment and one that is misunderstood, especially today in the church. Now, Deuteronomy 5, 12 through 15 will repeat this with some additional details. And one is, he says, observe rather than remember. And that takes into account that this command has already been given as the Lord your God has commanded you. The emphasis is on the continuance of its observance. Notice that the inclusion, and this is at the end, let me read this last part of Deuteronomy 5, 12 through 15. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commands you to keep the Sabbath day. So this additional insight about their life in Egypt is critical. They're to look at their slavery and their work and to reflect on that and to make sure that they give those in the land who serve them rest as well. And you may not have realized this, but the work day in Egypt was a 10-day work week. So you worked 9 and got 1 day off. Wow, that is one long week. But this idea of their bondage in Egypt should cause them to have empathy and not treat their servants in the same manner as they were treating Egypt. Furthermore, they're reminded that God delivered them out of such hardships, and He is now their Lord. Also in Deuteronomy chapter 5, 12 through 15, there's no reference to the creation account, but there is an emphasis on their deliverance from their bondage in Egypt. So the two passages complement one another. The justification for the seventh day is to follow the pattern that God established when He created the universe. 6 days He worked, and the seventh day He ceased from working. And then on the flip side, you have their slavery and bondage to the Egyptians, and they were to see the rest in that. Now, some key concepts. This idea of remember means never forget, always bring to mind. Observe means to ensure faithfulness to the instructions, to watch over, guard by giving it your full attention. Now, the idea of keeping it holy means don't corrupt it. Consecrate it, set it apart, revere it. And the word hallowed, which also means sanctified, is the same word as keep it holy, but it's just a different word form in the Hebrew. In other words, if we were to summarize all these ideas and put it together, it means don't neglect this holy, labor-free Lord's Day. It's all-inclusive. And by the way, there are some exceptions for the priests because they do have some sacrifices to carry out that day. So the question I would ask is, what is your relationship to the Word of the Lord, the Word of God? What are you doing right now to remember, to observe, and to keep your life holy? Because that's one of the ideas behind this commandment, is in this day of rest, we ought to reflect on where we've been and where we are. For the Egyptians, well, they need to reflect that they were once in bondage as slaves to the Egyptians. But we as Christians, when we take a day of rest, we should reflect on our deliverance out of the bondage of sin. And that is a wonderful truth. Now, the instructions are made clear. Literal 6 days of the week, Sunday through Friday. This implies that we have a six literal day creation. Do all your work. Now, this is something that people don't bring up a lot when they talk about the Sabbath. But what does it say? 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. There's a Judeo-Christian work ethic built in to this commandment. There's an expectation that you and I will be working very diligently, being faithful to our responsibilities during the week. And because of that, we're going to need a rest. Now, the seventh day or Sabbath, that's rest. That means cease from working and laboring. Exodus 16:29, see, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. This is when manna first came down. Let every man remain his place and let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So what's going on here? The seventh day would be a Saturday, Sunday being the first day of the week. Now, by not leaving the tent, God was instructing the Israelites, make this a time of worship, but also make this a time with the family. Now, who's involved in the Sabbath? Who does the commandment apply? Well, to those living in Israel at the time, that was themselves, the son, the daughter, the male servant, the female servant, even the animals, the cattle, and yes, the strangers and aliens within the gates in the city. It's all inclusive. And it reveals all the individuals involved in an agricultural society. The family, the working class, the animal class, the stranger, the protected citizen. This division makes it impossible then for anyone to work on the Sabbath. And therefore, it'd be very obvious when someone was breaking the commandment and working on the Sabbath. Remember, they were coming from Egypt with a 10-day work week. Now, the theological framework is significant. 6 days of creation, and the seventh day, God ceased from creating. Because of this parallelism, it literally reinforces a six-day creation. Genesis 2:2-3. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. So you can see that this parallelism going on is to inform us that God means 6 literal days. And then the seventh is a rest, just as he worked 6 literal days and rested on the seventh. Now, how do you rest physically and spiritually weekly? That's a good question. Do you even rest physically and spiritually? Now, do you believe in a 6 literal day creation? And if not, why? These are some of the questions that you need to contemplate when going through a passage like this. Here's another question. What small change in your schedule could you make so that you could devote more time to God and others rather than yourself? So let's review the 3 key events on the Sabbath. God resting on the seventh day, the covenant relationship, and then release from Egyptian enslavement. So let me ask you this. When is the last time in your rest did you reflect on God's creation, the new covenant, and your redemption from your enslavement to sin? See, you don't look at this commandment as, okay, on Saturday I don't do anything. And again, I'm speaking to an Israelite in historical context. When we get to the New Testament, I'll explain some differences. But picture yourself as an Israelite on the Sabbath day. It wasn't just a day off. There was something intentional to do behind the day. Spend it with the family. Reflect on God's creation. Thank the Lord for the covenant. And thank the Lord for the release from their bondage. But there's some additional insights. Now, the first application of the Sabbath was during the week of the manna provision. Do not collect any manna on the Sabbath. Now, what's fascinating is that there were those who did go out, but they were not penalized or judged. It's as if God was introducing the Sabbath concept before he introduced the law to get them ready for it. Exodus 31:12, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is a Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath, he shall surely be put to death. Now, this is important to add here. Why is God giving such a significant penalty here? Well, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, he knows you need the rest, and he knows others need the rest. This is necessary for a society to thrive and grow. But more than that, it's about who God is. Each of these commandments, as much as it is important to benefit man, it reflects the character and nature of God. And so God is saying, look, I am a God to be worshipped. I am the God to be worshipped. I worked 6 days, and then I took a break on the seventh day. You need to do the same. This is incredible truth. And it goes on and says, and when he made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. So this was written down. Now notice this. This is a sign between Israel and God, not the church. In fact, let me go back and read this just so you can see that. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So let's understand, first and foremost, this cannot apply to the church because it was a sign between Israel and God. Now, when it says perpetual covenant, what does that mean? Well, right now, they still celebrate it, and it will continue into the millennial kingdom. And also, another big difference, today, we do not stone people when they disobey the Ten Commandments. But back then, if you broke the commandment, you were stoned. You were put to death for disobedience. And we don't do that today. So this particular commandment, the Sabbath, does not apply to the New Testament church. But there's more information, as I will show you shortly. Now, Exodus 35, 1 through 3 says this. Then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, these are the words which the Lord had commanded you to do. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout the dwellings on the Sabbath day. I love what it says there. This is a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. In other words, you're resting for not only yourself, but primarily for the Lord's sake. This is his day. Now, kindle no fire implies that they shouldn't boil as well. All that work had to be done beforehand. Exodus 34:21, 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest you shall rest. Even in the busiest seasons of life that are necessary for your preservation, God says, I need you Israelites to rest. Now, the Sabbath is extended beyond the individual. It extends to the land. Leviticus 25:2. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath, a solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. The implication of this is that they would have to really trust the Lord and adequately plan for it. It implies the sixth year would be such a bounty year that it would be like the Lord doubled the portion of man on the sixth day. So let's close by reminding ourselves that we need to take some rest. And when we do take that rest, that leisure time, we do it unto the Lord. We think on him, we reflect on him, and we praise him for the deliverance of the bondage he's given us out of our sin. Well, until the next time we're together, may you pray and obey.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.